Sri Krishna's departure from Hastinapur and his arrival at Dwarka. A story from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. After being enlightened by the words of Bhishma Dev, Maharaj Yudhishthira gave up his grief over killing so many soldiers at the Battle of Kurukshetra. And he began ruling the earth along with his younger brothers. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, there was regulated rainfall, and the earth produced all of man's necessities in profusion. Due to their fatty milk bags and cheerful attitude, the cows moistened the grazing ground with milk. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers, and herbal medicines or oshadi paid their tax in every season to the king in abundance. In other words, there was an abundant yield. Mother Nature was pleased with the ruling of a saintly devoted king. So Mother Nature, Bhumimata, Mother Nature arranged everything in profusion, profuse milk, profuse flowers, profuse fruits, profuse herbal medicines, profuse jewels and gems coming from the hills and mountains and oceans, produce flow of rivers were profusely flowing, the oceans were full and pure. Everything was to the maximum degree. Season by season, every season, Mother Nature, Mother Bhumi being pleased with the saintly rule of the devoted king, the Krishna Bhakta Maharaj Yudhishthira, she made everything wonderful. Because Maharaj Yudhishthira ruled the kingdom strictly according to religious principles, the subjects were not disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat and cold. Just imagine a modern world with no anxieties, no diseases, and no excessive heat and cold. It seems unimaginable, but it was all going on only 5,000 years ago. And the converse is true when demoniac leaders are in charge of the country and the world, and everything is in scarcity, everything is helter-skelter, and they simply give it names like global warming and species going extinct and dried up rivers and polluted oceans and shortage of food and flowers and fruits and jewels and gems. After residing in Hastinapur for a few months, Sri Krishna asked Maharaj Yudhishthira's permission to depart to return to his kingdom of Dwarka, which he had not been in several months. Krishna bowed down at the feet of Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira lifted up Krishna and embraced him warmly. Others in the assembly offered obeisances and embraces to Krishna. Then Krishna mounted his chariot. At this time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yutsu, Kripa, Domya, and the Pandavas, except Arjuna, who was accompanying Krishna, nearly fainted, for they thought that it would be impossible to bear separation from their beloved Lord Sri Krishna. with their hearts melting in the pot of attraction, they gazed at Lord Krishna with unblinking eyes, and they shuffled here and there due to anxiety over Krishna's impending departure. Other ladies from the palace came to see Krishna, and only with great difficulty could they refrain from crying, thinking that such tears would be inauspicious at the time of departure. In fact, they are. Although modern people oftentimes, when a relative, a friend, or a beloved is leaving or going away on business or returning to their home in a distant land or distant place, then the relatives, they'll cry, "Oh, I'll miss you. Please call. Come back soon." This type of grief or crying at the time that a beloved or a friend or relative is leaving is most inauspicious. Rather, there should be kirtan and happy faces and warm embraces and promises of meeting again soon and going to visit the other party at their place. It should be very auspicious and positive to generate good vibrations everywhere in all directions for a safe journey of the beloved. The Kuru ladies were smiling with shyness and affection as they showered flowers from the rooftop. Drums and other musical instruments were sounded in honor of Lord Krishna. Arjun held a jewel-studded umbrella, white umbrella over Krishna's head, while Uddhav and Satyaki fanned Sri Krishna. The brahmanas uttered auspicious benedictions, and the ladies gathered on the rooftop talked among themselves about the great fortune of Krishna's wives in Dwarka and the Brajagopis. The Harikatha of these Hastinapura Mahishis was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Krishna happily accepted their devotional offerings by smilingly casting a glance at these palace ladies. And then he left Hastinapura. Maharaj Yudhisthira sent a small army to escort Krishna, and then he and his brothers accompanied the Lord for some distance due to their great affection for him. This is, of course, another rule of Vedic etiquette in play here in the first canto, that whenever a friend, relative, especially an exalted person, a senior guru, teacher, etc., or a senior member of the family, or anyone, when they leave, it is the custom, and rather the rule, social rule, to accompany them, walk along with them for some time in a happy, cheerful mood, laughing and reminding each other of good times. And then the person who's leaving or traveling on to another place, he'll say, "Okay, you can go back now." So then there'll be another embrace or more obeisances and smiles, and then the parties will depart. Finally, Krishna persuaded the Pandavas to return to their home, and then he swiftly moved down the road to Dwarka. While moving on his chariot, Krishna passed through many provinces, such as Kuru Jungle, Panchala, Shurasena, Brahmavart, Kurukshetra, Matsya, Saraswat. And then he entered the desert. Every evening he stopped so he could perform his Sandhya Vandanam at sunset. And wherever Krishna traveled, the local people welcomed him and worshipped him with great respect and gave Sri Krishna many valuable presentations. Finally, after passing through Sovira and Avira, Krishna reached his own country, the kingdom of Anartas. Arriving at the outskirts of Dwarka, Krishna sounded his conch shell, Panchajanya, to announce his arrival. The pure white Panchajanya appeared to be reddened by the touch of Krishna's beautiful bimba fruit red lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of a red lotus flower. The citizens of Dwarka were very morose due to separation from Krishna. But when they heard the transcendental sound of his Panchajanya shank, they quickly ran out from the city to have a long-awaited view of Lord Sri Krishna. As they came before Lord Sri Krishna, the Dwarkavasis gave him gifts while welcoming him in ecstatic words and phrases. "O Bhagavan, it is our great fortune that we have once again come under your protection today. Now it is again possible for us to look into your smiling face, which is full of affectionate glances. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. At such times our eyes become useless, as if bereft of the sun. O Master, if you are away all of the time, then how will we continue to exist?" In this verse, the Dwarkavasis are mentioning that Krishna often regularly leaves Dwarka and visits Hastinapur and the Pandavas and spends some time. They also mention that he regularly visits Mathura. And this is why Garga Samhita explains how Krishna often returned to Mathura. And then the assumption is that as long as he was in Mathura, he also came to visit the gopis in Vrindavan. As he said, "I'll return." So there is some evidence here that in the first canto of Bhagavatam, spoken by the Dwarkavasis, whenever you go away to Mathura or Hastinapur, so this Mathura indicates that he's going to, telling them he's going to Mathura, because Mathura is Aishwarya Bhav, similar to Dwarka, to maybe meet the Brishnis or the residents of the Bhoja dynasty. But actually, Krishna has another idea in mind. He's actually coming to Vrindavan to visit, to meet with Srimati Radhika and the Brajagopis. While entering Dwarka, Sri Krishna acknowledged these greetings by casting his transcendental glance over the citizens. And he appreciated how the city was gorgeously decorated and full of opulence. The streets of Dwarka, the marketplaces and public parks were thoroughly cleansed and moistened with scented water. The city gate and doorways and arches along the road were decorated with auspicious items like banana trees, garlands of flowers, mango leaves, and colorful flags. In the doorway of every house, auspicious articles such as pots of yogurt, fruit, sugarcane, incense, lamps, and full pots of water were placed. Fruit, flowers, and unbroken seeds were strewn here and there over the ground. Upon hearing of Krishna's arrival in Dwarka, his father Vasudev, his uncle Akrura, Ugrasen, Balaram, and Pradyumna, and Krishna's other sons stopped eating, sitting, resting, or whatever they were doing, and ran to meet Krishna. Keeping brahmanas and elephants in front, they rode in their chariots and were accompanied by the sound of bugles and the chanting of Vedic hymns. Hundreds of famous prostitutes, all beautifully decorated, proceeded upon various vehicles, for they were very eager to see Sri Krishna. Dramatists, singers, dancers, and expert speakers came to offer their respective talents for Krishna's pleasure. Actually, all the citizens of Dwarka came out to greet Sri Krishna. And reciprocating with each of them, Krishna offered them due respect and honor. Krishna greeted the various grades of persons in different ways. With some of the residents of Dwarka, the Dwarkavasis, he bowed his head or exchanged words. And others he shook hands with them, or some he embraced. Some he gave affectionate looks and smiles. All of his actions awarding everyone assurances and benedictions. Then Krishna passed along the public road with his elderly relatives and brahmanas, and the ladies gathered on the rooftops, considering it to be a great festival to have Krishna's darshan. The Dwarkavasis were used to seeing the Lord every day, but since that reservoir of all beauty, but since Krishna is an unlimited reservoir of transcendental divine beauty, the residents never become satiated or satisfied by looking at the Lord. They can always gaze at his beauty on and on and on forever. There was a white umbrella held over Krishna's head to protect him from the rays of the sun, and peacock fans were being artistically waved in semicircles, and showers of flowers were falling upon the road. With his bright yellow garments, Krishna appeared like a dark cloud surrounded by the sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. After Krishna entered Vasudeva's palace, his mother, Devaki, and other mothers embraced him, and he in turn offered his obeisances by placing his head at the feet of Devaki and Vasudeva and others in Vatsalya Bhav. Then the mothers, they sat Krishna upon their laps. Mind you, he's a full-grown adult, a king, and he's sitting on the laps of his various mothers, Rohini, etc. Due to intense parental affection, milk began to flow from their breasts, even though they were over 100 years old in many cases. And the tears from their eyes wetted Krishna's body. Then Krishna entered his own palaces. His queens were overjoyed to see Krishna after such a long absence. Roused from their meditation, the Mahishis immediately got up from their asans, but they covered their faces due to shyness, as was the social custom. They looked at Sri Krishna with coy glances. The bashful queens first of all embraced Krishna in the innermost core of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually, and at last they sent their sons to embrace him directly. Although the wives tried to restrain themselves, they cried with joy upon seeing Krishna after such a long absence. These simple Mahishis thought of Krishna as their beloved husband, and since he never seemed to leave their sides, they considered him to be henpecked and dominated by them. Actually, the Mahishis were really unaware of the extent of Sri Krishna's glories. Although the beautiful smiles and furtive glances of these queens were so exciting that they could easily conquer Cupid or even Lord Shiva, nevertheless, they could not agitate the senses of Sri Krishna, for Krishna was not attached to the queens of Dwarka. Of course, this cannot be said about the gopis. Radha Kripa Kataksha, simply a sidelong glance from Radharani. And how does Krishna respond? Is he not agitated? Is he not disturbed? He's very disturbed and very attracted and very excited simply by a Radha Kripa Kataksha. He's so excited that his peacock feather falls off his turban, then his turban spins off and falls to the ground, and then his flute falls, and even his dhoti slips off and slides to the ground, according to Vilap Kusumanjali by Das Goswami. The Brajagopis, they definitely disturb Krishna's mind profusely and profoundly when he's in their presence. And what to speak of in their absence when he's in Dwarka. Every night he's crying and soaks his pillow with his tears of viraha, loving separation from Radhika and all the Brajagopis. This is the divinity of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Bhagavan is never affected by the qualities of material nature like an ordinary man, even though he may be in contact with them. Similarly, Krishna's devotees, who are fully sheltered at his feet, also do not become influenced by the material modes of nature. Sri Krishna's arrival in Dwarka, ki jai, Dwarkadish, ki jai, Rukmini Dwarkadish, ki jai.